article, baby.
I'm finally home from the road, and let me tell you, I am going to nest. And that includes getting ready for the summer, my patio, my backyard. And you can be goddamn sure I'm going to be checking out Article. I love their products. I've got a bed frame from Article. I adore. I have my dining room set from Article. It's so gorgeous. Let me tell you about it. They believe that every home can have a beautiful and delightful design that's curated just for you. And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices as well. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, watch Sarah Silverman, Someone You Love, on Max.
Hey, everyone, it's your old pal Sarah Silverman. Let's get right to it with some voicemails. Why don't we do that?
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
You know what? I don't hate it, Sarah, but I do notice it, and I catch myself waiting for it every week. And if you are message, like he, I don't know if he exhales after the mess and before the itch, or he puts in more oomph in message when he says that. I've noticed it, and I don't hate it. You know, I do wait for it every week to hear it again, but I wonder if you noticed it too. Like, why wouldn't he just put the oomph in the whole thing? Because I think I kind of like the edge. I left you a message. You know, I think, I don't know. I love you, Sarah. Please call me back.
Please call me back. I don't think you hate it. I think you love it. But you notice it every time. Or it's made you love it eventually just from listening, just from knowing, just catching it. I don't know, darling. I didn't notice it myself, but, you know, those kind of things are the stuff, I think, right? When you listen to things like, I mean, hey, you talking about it? Isn't that what they say? I will say when I play Jeopardy on my Alexa, the announcer always says Jeopardy so weird, but I always have to say it along. It's like, this is Jeopardy. He says Jeopardy. And it doesn't bother me, but I notice it and I always have to say it along with them. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah, my name's Alex. I'm a performer currently on one of the Broadway national tours. And in our company, we have this tradition where if somebody's about to perform the show for the first time, or if they're about to debut a track that they understudy, like a principal role, we gather at places backstage around this performer. We lay our hands on them. Somebody gives like a little motivational speech. Aww. Now, oftentimes God or even Jesus specifically is mentioned in these speeches, and it makes me super uncomfortable. I was raised Jewish, but I identify as a strong atheist now. And I don't know, I just find it disrespectful for somebody to assume that everybody in this group believes in Jesus or believes in God in general. And I just think that there should be a separation between workplace and God. I cover a principal role, and I've just had my final rehearsals for it, which means I will debut this track within the coming weeks. I want your advice. Ahead of knowing that this little ceremony is going to happen, should I preemptively talk to stage management or talk to my fellow company members about excluding the mention of God in the speech? Or should I just experience the speech, whether there's God mentioned or not, and know that if Jesus is mentioned, it's just their way of showing support for me. It's not their way of like pressing their religion. The person that usually gives the speeches, I'm not super close with. So it does kind of make me feel uncomfortable to have that conversation. But on the other hand, I want to be included in the tradition and I want to have that moment with the cast. Thank you.
I'm feeling like this is a love language, you know, that means no harm. If it bums you out, and you feel isolated by it, maybe seek out another cast member that might feel similarly, just so you have someone else to kind of, you know, just look at when it happens. And so you can just kind of look at each other and smile. Or, you know, if you want to say something, I'd wait until it's your turn to get one. I wouldn't say anything before then. I don't think you need to. I mean, do you? But if you really want to, wait until it's your turn to get one. And you know, you said it's coming up. And that's the time where you have the authority to lovingly request a non-Jesus-y celebration for you. You know, maybe just say like, you know, could I request a non-Jesus evoking one for me? I'm a godless Jew, and I just really love one that keeps it more about love and care and support and community, or whatever you think. Surprise me. You know, just keep it to a very loving request, you know, that's appreciative, that you're excited that it's going to be your turn to have this special moment, but could it be without a religious component? And I just think that if you keep it, you know, loving and not a complaint, it'll be nice. I mean, I think that's exactly how Jesus would handle it. What else?
Hi, Sarah. I'm a gerontology grad student with hopes to get a film and visual studies PhD. There's no question that the older adult community, which will be one of the largest communities by 2030, has resources that are lacking, opportunities that are lacking, and cannot afford to live and are forced to go back to work. That was reiterated with your story about Pat, your friend who has just passed. My condolences, by the way. My question to you is, what do you think would be beneficial for older adults in media? Hope you're having a great day.
What do I think would be beneficial for older adults in media? Do you mean program? I can't tell if he means programming for older adults, which, you know, come on, we've got Law and Order. We have NCIS. Or maybe he means like elderly people reflected in art. And yeah, totally. And there are so many great, great actors in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I see a lot of older actors working a lot now, though. No? Also, you know, the ones that do are fucking major pros who know how to conserve energy. I learn a lot from older actors I've worked with. Darren Goldstein, who plays Goldstein? Goldstein or Goldstein? I think it's either, right? I still don't know with my dad's best friend, Arnie Goldstein. Goldstein? Anyway, Darren Goldstein, who plays Donald Silverman in the Bedwetter musical. He's not old, but he had this chair at the show in his dressing room that you can fully lie down in. What are those, like, anti-gravity chairs, or what is it called? Gravity chair? I don't know. And I said, oh my God, I worked with Beau Bridges, and he had that same exact chair so he can rest between takes. And it is so genius. And Darren was like, that's exactly who I learned that from. Like, he worked with Beau Bridges and saw he had this chair and was like, genius. Yes, you have to conserve energy when you're shooting because it's a lot. You know, I worked with a couple elderly actors on the Sarah Silverman program, the great Murray Gershans, who is not a household name, but worked so much in his older life. Never didn't act until he was in his 80s, I think, as well as Ed Asner. Murray and Ed were both on an episode where they played Nazi war criminals. And they were like a master acting class, you know, like in for when you're older and you need to conserve energy. Because I know we aren't allowed to say acting is hard, but it's hard in that it's very long hours, easily 70-hour weeks. And you have to learn how to conserve your energy at any age.
anytime they were not shooting. I have a picture of this somewhere. I'll try to find it so we can post it. But anytime they were not shooting, they were sitting in their chairs completely at rest, just completely shut down physically, you know, like just conserving, hibernating almost. But I have a picture of them both sleeping in their chairs and in their Nazi uniforms. And it's, I used to have it framed on my wall, and I'll find it somewhere. So we'll post the picture if I find it on YouTube.
Here's some ads.
Guys, we all know how important mental health is and how helpful therapy can be for that. But did you know traditional therapy visits are on average over $100 per session? At least. That can add up to like $1,000 a year. Well, let me tell you about Cerebral. Cerebral is a 100% online mental health service that offers therapy and medication management for anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, burnout, and more. Look, you know I'm a big therapy person. I know it's not affordable for all. I wish it was. Your mental health is like the most important thing. It affects everything you do. Cerebral is here for anyone who's looking for help with their mental health, no matter where you are in your journey. Cerebral is one of the few services that provides medication management online through a licensed provider if clinically indicated. They have affordable treatments that are one-third the price of traditional therapy. Wow. And treatment options are available with or without insurance. Our listeners will receive an exclusive 50% off your first month of therapy by going to Cerebral.com/Sarah. That's Cerebral.com/Sarah for 50% off your first month of therapy. For quality mental health care that's accessible and affordable, join Cerebral today. Lumi, baby, Lumi! I've been really into their hand wash, like their liquid soap, because it really gets stink off your hands. When you smoke a joint, say you have your one cigarette of the day, those are gross examples. But really anything, I wash my hands with it and I don't have that disgusting smell in my, you know, embedded in my hands. I don't know if that's the most lovely example, but it really removes odor and leaves just the freshest scents behind, depending on what scent you like. Lumi is safe to use anywhere on your body. We are talking about a whole body deodorant. It's the first of its kind. Seriously, you can use it on your pits, your under boobs. God, thank you. The summer. Thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, feet. Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. They are aluminum-free, that's key, baking soda-free, paraben-free, and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, that's really great too, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash. Oh, and the wipes, the deodorant wipes are amazing. And free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code SARAH40 at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E. It's pronounced Lumi. LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SARAH40.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. It's Martin here from London in the UK. Please come here and do a show just for me. Sorry, what a weird sort of bedroom voice I'm doing. I was just listening to your podcast and you were talking about kind of gender things and kids and stuff, and it reminded me of this thing I saw recently about it was the Ultimatum France, a very good show. I watched it in subtitles, and these men were saying, God, I want to treat my girlfriend or wife like a princess, like a queen, like an angel. And I just kind of like, it just to me, it highlighted this kind of problem with how men and women relate to each other, and maybe how men come to treat women not, you know, equally. It's just, you know, you don't have to treat women in your life like queens, just treat them like people, because women are very similar to people. I think
say women are similar
just
to people.
Pence piece. I just wanted to hear your thought about it. I mean, there's obviously, you know, phrases and things that you might not like your kind of, you know, men in your life are using, but I don't know, it just suddenly seemed really crystal clear to me that maybe that's something we need to do for kids, is to you know, teach them just to see each other as people, and then maybe that's okay, because yeah, then you're equal, you're not in servitude to them, but you're also not better than them. We're all just people, and that's, I feel like you've brought me to this place from listening to you. I'm obsessed with you. Stay safe.
Yeah, we should be kind and considerate to everyone. It's, you know, I mean, listen, that pedestal shit, I think it's well-meaning, but it's based on such patriarchal shit. You know, it's nice to care for your partner and think of them and hold the door open for each other. That's all just basic human kindness. And it's lovely. It's the pedestal bullshit that men think of as what a woman must want, but it's historically way more designed to cut women off at the knees. It overlaps in that Venn diagram of chipping away at the rights of women by, quote, you know, putting them on a pedestal. The thought that she should not have to do for herself. Don't work, I'll work. Don't drive, I'll drive. It's atrophying stuff, you know. It's I'm sure it's not conscious, at least not anymore, but I'd say a combination of well-meaning tradition of something that is essentially designed to keep women stagnant and dependent. It's wonderful to have someone that loves you do thoughtful things for you. Of course, we should all be doing that for the special people in our lives. But that should go both ways, right? You know, I mean, two people that take care of each other in individually customized ways and not generic barbaric ways. Yeah, that's beautiful. But yeah, I think where it comes from, it's rooted in not equality, I would say. Like, I went on a date with a guy I was like psyched about years ago, really liberal dude, whatever, you know, not that, whatever, but it's, this is why I'm saying that. He ordered for me. It was like, he thought that was romantic. Not like I told him what he wanted and he ordered for me. He decided what I was to have. And then I had to be like, oh, no, I actually don't eat meat. Okay, what's your best vegetarian meal? She'll have that. You know, it's like, how is that romantic? Taking choice away from me. I was tickled because I had not experienced it. But I think that shit is like weird. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. It's Sarah from New Jersey. And my question really is about your relationship to our name. I love my name, and my husband and I are, you know, in the process of trying to get pregnant with our first child. So we talk a lot about what our names mean to us and what name we would want to imprint on another human being for potentially their entire lives. And it feels like a really great responsibility. And so we're Puerto Rican, and my dad actually named my brother and I things that he felt strongly that the names not give away that we're Latin, like on job applications and things, because he felt like it invited discrimination. And I'm only 30. So this is something they were thinking about in 1992. Right. And my husband and I are kind of going the opposite. Like, we love a lot of cultural, strong Spanish names. And my dad's surprised, like, you know, that we would want to go in that direction. I just think culture has changed so much. And I guess my question is just, what do you feel about being named Sarah? Do you think it impacted you in any way? Is there anything you love, you know, what do you love about it? What would you change your name to if you could? So many questions. But yeah, thank you so much. I love you. And I'm a fan for life. Bye.
Aww, thanks, Sarah. Yeah, I like the name Sarah. You know, that's interesting about your dad wanting names that assimilate to American cultures. Did I use the right, that word right? Assimilate. That is very obviously very much like so many cultures that come to America. And especially I would say like Jews, my parents' age, like my mother's name was Bethann. I know a Terry Sue, also a Jewish woman who's my mother's age, and an Anne Terry. And I think a lot of that generation, their parents did not want their kids to have Jewish sounding names at all. I mean, my mother's mother not only named her Beth Ann, but had my grandfather change his last name, Cohen, to Halpin, to sound less Jewish, which I found out when I did Finding Your Roots. But I don't even know if my mother knew that. So, yeah, that's a thing. But it's nice that this next generation is way more into experiencing the names of their culture. And there are so many Spanish names or Puerto Rican names. I don't know. They converge, but they're not all the same. But that I love, I love Pablo. I love Pedro, probably because I love Pedro Pascal, but I love the name Pablo. I love the name Mia. I love the name Maya. I love the name Juan. I know it's just like John, but I love it. Well, I also really love the name John, to be honest. It's my stepfather's name. I really love Irish names, too. I think I get my mom, my stepdad was Irish and my mom loved Ireland. And I love, and I have Irish relatives. So I love the name Colleen. I love the name Quinn. Why am I still talking? Anyway, yeah, totally. And I like my name, Sarah. I do. It was random. I think my parents, I asked, what's my name? They picked it out of a name book. I was actually going to be Kate Sarah. And then my nana somehow, didn't like the name Kate or whatever. And so they just switched it, Sarah Kate. But it just was from a name book. If I was a boy, I know I was going to be John Robert after the Kennedys. It was that kind of time. I mean, it wasn't. It was the 70s, but anyway.
Here's some ads.
Manscaped, baby. Ladies, June is just around the corner, and my guess is that you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift. Am I right? Well, look no further than the sponsors of today's show, because our friends at Manscaped are dedicated to upgrading his grooming game from face to waist. Their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the total package dedicated to making sure all fathers go from dad to daddy this year, maybe to zaddy. Have him join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Silverman at manscaped.com. Mama's gonna like this one. My zaddy, Rory. Can a zaddy be actually a couple few years younger than you? I don't know. He has Manscaped. He loves it. And I use it. Let's start with the ultimate Father's Day MVP, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Inside this package, he'll find their signature beard hedger trimmer, beard shampoo and conditioner, beard oil, beard balm. And I love that beard balm, by the way. And two free gifts with their signature beard comb and scissors. And if he doesn't have a beard, he needs to try their Performance Package 4.0. This beautiful bundle is absolutely daddy material. It includes their signature lawnmower 4.0. I use it too. Brand new Weed Whacker 2.0, ear and nose hair trimmer, gotta love that one, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all his goodies. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SILVERMAN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code SILVERMAN. Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with Manscaped. Chime, baby. Good money habits start with your very first paycheck. And if you just scored your first job, you've got an opportunity to jumpstart a healthy financial journey. When you sign up for Chime and link a qualifying direct deposit, you get access to benefits like getting paid up to 2 days early and fee-free
overdraft up to $200. And with Chime, there are no monthly fees, no minimum balance, and no deposit required to become a member. So sign up for Chime Checking Account today to link your paycheck. It only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/Sarah. That's chime.com/Sarah. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. See chime.com/spotme.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. It's Ashley. I'm in Seattle, and I'm listening to My Frightened Rabbit, and I thought about you. I know how special this group is to you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be succinct here. I'm heartbroken. I'm so heartbroken, more heartbroken than I've ever been in my life. And I love this person that I've separated from so deeply. He feels like, you know, home, like it was a romance that activated my soul type of thing. I know that sounds so melodramatic, but it's true.
It's real.
But there are mental health challenges there, and he feels like he needs to get his feet back under him, and I agree. I think absolutely. It's really hard for someone to be in partnership when they're struggling to that level. But if you were my friend sitting here advising me, do you think that there are romances that are so special and connections that merit in this in-between space and waiting a bit to give it some room for something new to grow? Or would you advise me to move on? I love this person so deeply, but I need a little advice. And I find your advice extremely comforting. Thanks.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm advising you to move on, but I mean, did you get what you needed from him from in relationship? You know, like, did you know, right? I think so. Waiting for him to change or get his feet back. You know, if he's literally just having a health crisis and, you know, and wants you by his side and you want that, that's one thing. But, you know, there's kind of no known end point to waiting. And I don't have all the information, but it feels a little bit like you're punishing yourself. Or, you know, I think you should really think about what he gives you emotionally. You know, do a pro and con list, pros and cons, I think, not to be base about it, but it's just helpful. And then do me a favor and think back to childhood dynamics you had with your parents and people from your formative years. Is there a similar dynamic with a father or a mother or someone where you didn't get what you needed or you were left wanting on a fairly regular basis? Because if you answered yes to these, maybe rethink what this attraction is about. It might be less about loving him and more about subconsciously needing to recreate that dynamic again and try to have control over it, which inherently you do not. Maybe you should wait, on the other hand. Just decide to wait until you don't want to wait anymore. You know, rope-a-dope yourself. That's a Muhammad Ali term, I think. You know, tire yourself out. You know, if you're inclined to wait, wait. And then see what happens while you're waiting. Maybe you'll meet somebody, you know, or maybe it will work out. Or maybe you will realize you're not going to wait anymore. And that's okay too. I can't imagine this is good advice. I don't know, but who knows? This is what I got. Some topsy-turvy conflicting advice. Good luck. What else?
Hi, Sarah. It's your fan Ellie from Chicago. I'm calling in to tell you that you're wonderful, and I'm really grateful for your podcast and all that you do. Your humor brings me a lot of joy. And B, I wanted to call in because I am just wondering about like what your thoughts on something that I'm going through. I'm 25, and back in November, my dad died suddenly and unexpectedly, like literally gone before we knew it. And between my two older sisters and I, I'm having seemingly the most difficult time with it, and I still can't believe it most of the time that he's gone. I just keep thinking that he's just doing his own thing. So what are your thoughts on grief and how to deal with it? And lastly, part of that grief, I recently broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years, which has now left me questioning a lot of things and my life goals. And pretty much I had all these plans with him. And now that he's not in the equation anymore, I'm not really sure what my career and professional and personal goals should be. And I'm kind of dealing with that loss too, which is exciting, I guess, sometimes, but really, really sad in other ways. So what are your thoughts and what are your tips on breakups? Let me know. Thanks.
Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry about your dad and about this breakup. It sounds like these two relationships that you lost in two different ways were very stabilizing forces for you, possibly to the point, maybe more so with your ex-boyfriend, of course, that you forgot who you are without him. And maybe you're realizing that what you thought you wanted was just what he wanted. So this is an opportunity. Whew. You know, find out who you are. Modified by no one. You know, no pressure on it. And, you know, ideally it will be fairly fluid, growing and changing and shit. But I think, kind of a gift in disguise for you to now be in a position to realize what you want, what you like, how you want to live your life. We're so conditioned to want what we're told we want. You know, he went to Jared. Every kiss begins with K. You know, like, why are we supposed to like diamonds? I know I'm getting off topic, but I'll never understand the appeal. It means literally nothing to me. I mean, if it was like my mom's and it had some special meaning or something, but I'll just never understand expensive jewelry. I have digressed. Back to your dad. I'm so sorry. Ugh. And that it was out of the blue and not expected. There was no way to prepare for it. And as for grief, you don't have to worry about it one bit because grief takes care of itself. You are just the vessel through which grief expresses itself. I mean, you know, it's you and it's your feelings, of course. But what I'm saying is that there is no way to do grief right. There's no wrong way either. It's just, you just let the waves come and go and remember him and love him, all the while figuring out that this life is not forever and it is your actual duty to live it exactly how you see fit. So good luck. I see this as an opportunity for you. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Alex from Brooklyn. I just wanted to ask you about how you feel about people who have had abortions in the past and then years later change their viewpoint on it and question their belief in the right to choose. You know, especially ever since Roe versus Wade has been overturned, I've had difficult and frustrating conversations with people I know, some of which who have had abortions in the past and then now are kind of saying without saying it that they might not be for pro-choice. And I just find it, you know, frustrating because they, of all people, should be the ones who are advocating most for the girls now and in the future who will need to practice the same right. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on this and, you know, see how you would go about it. I love you. Love your podcast. I listen to it every Sunday while I'm cooking dinner. So if I'm listening to this right now, I'm cooking dinner. Anyway, love you. Bye.
Hey, what's for dinner? What are you making? What you chopping up there?
Yeah, I will just never understand. You know, you don't have to get an abortion if you don't believe in abortion. That's the choice you get to make. You get to decide that you are not going to have an abortion. So why are you taking that choice away from other women? It's control shit. I mean, look, you can regret a choice that you made without wanting no one ever to be able to have that choice again. I mean, that's absurd. Having regret over a choice that you made and because of that, wanting no other woman to have that choice is bananas. Taking an entire people's rights away is just not ever going to be a good solution. It's just choice. That way people who need abortions and decide that's best for them can have one. And people who do not believe in abortion don't have to have one. Good grief. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah. This is Kara calling, a friend from the Canadian West Coast. I wanted to check in and see how things were going in your kind of new house. And if you have any newfound things that you really enjoy doing or freedoms that you found since living there. My wife and I moved to a big old house on a big piece of property where we can't see our neighbors.
Wow.
At the beginning of the pandemic. And one of the first things we did was had sex on the balcony. And so, yeah, we like doing that and listening to music really loud.
Yeah.
And peeing outside sometimes. So, yeah, any fun stuff like that? Thanks. Looking forward to seeing you in Vancouver.
That's funny. Rory does pee outside sometimes, just because why the fuck not? Also, he'll do it like he'll pee where he wants the dogs to pee so that they like smell it and hopefully pee in that area because there's like some grass we don't want them to pee on, but we can't really control it and we're not going to keep them off of grass because that's their joy. But anyway, yeah, we did some naked swimming over the summer in our pool. That was very freeing, and totally with music. Like, I do have neighbors. We have neighbors, you know, like we have neighbors in houses on either side of us. But it's nothing like being in an apartment and sharing walls. Like when I play loud music, I still have that pang like I'm bothering the other tenants. And then I realize I'm the only tenant. I'm in my own very own house. It's awesome. Yeah, it's so different from apartment life, which I also loved. And living in a house is like a job. I didn't, you know, there's so much maintenance, but I love it. Yeah, thanks. What else?
Hi, Sarah. It's Jessie from San Francisco. I just went to the dentist recently for the first time in 6 months. I'm a regular dentist goer.
Good girl.
But it was the first time that I went to the dentist since you gave the recommendation of getting the sonic fusion toothbrush with Waterpik. And since improving my cleaning habits, brushing with the Sonic Fusion nightly and the Waterpik and adding the floss right on top of it, it's added maybe 3 minutes to my life and I feel like a better person. And my dentist recognized the dramatic changes in how my teeth were this time as opposed to last. So I just wanted to thank you for your support of the dental hygiene of all of your fans and listeners. Thank you so much. Love you.
Yeah, your dentist is going to notice a difference. It's real. I basically saved your life because death creeps in through the gums, and that's a fact. Ah, I'm so excited. I'm very proud of you. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah. This is Jeffrey. It's kind of hard to describe what a personal hero you are to me. I've seen everything you've ever done. You're the reason why did stand up and open mics at one point. And
wow.
Anyway, I'm a really huge, super fan of your work. So I'm a recovering drug addict and when I first got sober, they told me you had to get like a higher power in order to recover. And I had a lot of problems and issues with like the God concept as well as a Jew, as fellow Hebrew. So I picked you to be my higher power. And I would say things like, Sarah, grant me serenity and stuff like that. And it kind of just made the whole thing seem a little bit more like, I don't know, real. And then it's kind of evolved into a whole bunch of different things. And I just hit 13 months sober yesterday, and I could not make pot a treat. And I'm grateful to know that. So I just wanted to know if you had any personal heroes, living or dead, that have really been kind of, or just helped you get to where you are today. Thank you so much for always making me laugh and for helping me get to the other side of this. It's so much brighter over here.
Wow. Congratulations. I am so proud of you. That's fucking hilarious that you made me your higher power avatar, basically. But, you know, hey, whatever works. Heroes for me that have helped me, people that have helped me through life, I'd have to say my sisters, big time, all three, Jodine, Laura, and Susan, and my therapist. Heroes, I'd say, well, number one is Mr. Rogers, and I talk about him all the time. He really, really influenced me and influences me. You know, I got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, not to brag, but what was so special about it for me was that they actually put me right next to Mr. Rogers, knowing that he's my hero. Rog was there. And, you know, it's all just symbolic, but it meant something to me. It was very nice. And I'd also say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a hero of mine. I just really admire him. I love his writing. I love the way he writes. He always writes, he has a Substack, and he writes about really important stuff and The Bachelor, which I love. I love that. I love reading, you know, someone that can talk on all the heavy stuff as much as the silly stuff, and finding meaning even in the silly stuff. And I just think he's brilliant, and I really admire him. And Bernie Sanders as well. Oh, fuck. My heroes are such a sausage party. Heart wants what it wants. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is your friend, Justin. I had called like a year ago, and you played my voicemail, which was quite shocking when I'm listening to your podcast, as I usually do, and then I hear my own voice.
Oh, I bet.
Like, whoa, that's me. But anyway, I called to talk about how I was starting Lexapro at the time, and you gave such great advice, and I actually like point people towards that when I am talking about maybe they should try medication, like, you know, being like navigating your own mind and like being your own detective. And I thought that was just an interesting way of putting it. But anyway, it's been like a year, and it's like one of the best decisions I've made. I just like feel way more stable. Like, my anxiety is way more recognizable than like, oh, this is me. Anyway, just loved your advice. Love that I was able to like share that with a bunch of people who might be struggling as well. And life's gotten a lot better, and also has changed dramatically in the past year. Just like where I live, my job, people I surround myself with, whatever. But anyway, full circle. Aside from Lexapro, I also think medically microdosing on mushrooms. Yeah, that was a curveball, wasn't it? But I don't know. I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on that, because that's coming up, and I think that a cocktail of Lexapro and a little bit of mushrooms is pretty superb. Okay, anyway, bye.
I mean, yeah, sure, whatever works for you. I mean, what works for one person, everyone's chemical makeup is so different. That's why you have to do what works for you and figure that out. But I, you know, I'm so interested in in psilocybin, the microdosing of mushrooms. They're finding it's doing some wonderful things for, you have to look this up because I'm reaching into the recesses of my brain. So I don't know if I read it or dreamed it, but I think it has, they've found that it's doing incredible things for epilepsy in children. All sorts of things, but yeah, people are doing it. I have some friends that do it. I haven't tried it yet. I'd maybe be interested in trying it, but I just don't know when to try it. I've got shit I gotta do every day. So I you know, it's like I feel like you need like a month of no plans to see how you take to it, or at least a week or two. I don't know. But I would be curious to see how that affects me. Or I don't think it's legal yet. I think it's legal in Colorado. But I'm sure you could probably get your hands on it. I don't know. All right. Well, Dad, this is the time of the show where I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like watching with your eyeballs, you can watch us on YouTube. All right? All right. See you next time. Bye.
Hey!
Hey,
I wanna...
Hey!
Hi. Hey, you fucker!